please.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
I'm not spiritually clean. I've got uncleanness. I've got baggage. I've got all this history where I've
guilt
rejected
or shame
God. Yeah,
or whatever.
And yet to be reminded that no, the very first people that God came to announce himself to was to the lowliest, the unclean, the rejected in society and culture.
Later on, Jesus would say, behold, the tax collectors and the whores are going into heaven before you. These are these Pharisees. How can that be? Because he knew that he would die for the sins, and these whether they're whores, prostitutes, tax collectors, considered the unclean of that age, they were coming, falling to their knees and repenting before God, and understanding that the only righteousness that we have, you and I right here, of our own, we are not good, but with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so we cannot boast of our rightness before God. We got it as a gift from this. How could you're a dad. You're a dad. You have, what, three children?
Three children.
So you love your children.
Of course. Yeah.
And can you imagine, how can I tell them that I love them for all eternity? I've got to communicate this to you. Well, all of a sudden, somebody shoots an arrow towards your family and you jump in and take the arrow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's how much Dad loved us. Well, that's how much Jesus loved us, that he took the payment that was due for our sins and says, I'll take it. All the other religions say, you got to die for this guy. You got to be good. You got to give up everything. And you got to do this and go fight and all this other stuff. And Jesus says, no. I died for you. All you have to do is accept.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a thing here. It's called free will. I've met a multitude of people. Remember I told you about Ben Kinchlow? He's in his car. He hates white people. All of a sudden, he's in the car. Jesus makes an appearance. He says, I went colorblind after that. He was born again. Mm-hmm. My nephew never wanted to go to church, never did go to church. So he comes down here. All of a sudden, he got converted late in life. I said, what happened? He went to church in the Carolinas? He goes, no. He says, there was a presence in the car. He pulls over, and the voice of the Lord says, Michael, you either accept me now or never. Because, see, you won't force it. You have free will. God is not a man that he should lie. So he's made a covenant with man. Why do we have wars? Because men create wars. Why isn't it? Because God will not intervene unless, of course, we pray. That seems to be a little secret there.
Well, and you started the conversation by asking about faith. And so basically, my response to that is he's looking for our response. And this also gets to the issue of free will. In other words, he's going to give us breadcrumbs, which are in essence a trail to himself. But he expects us to take the breadcrumbs that he's laid and respond in faith and obedience. And when we talk about the shepherds, for instance, who are out abiding by their flocks by night, and the multitude of the heavenly hosts come to them and announce the arrival of the newborn king. They say to each other, let us go and see this thing that we heard about, that we heard the angels talk about. So, I mean, in some ways you can't imagine that they would have seen the night sky light up with all of the angels and the heavenly hosts and not responded to it. And yet it was because they responded in faith and obedience to what they had seen and heard that they were among the very first to see the newborn king.
I was just thinking of something. You don't mind if I go down a little rabbit hole there? So I think you're a gentle person. Yeah. And I've had this new revelation about gentleness over the past few years that the Lord gave me. Because it says in Samuel, thy gentleness hath made thee great. It says in Psalms, thy gentleness hath made thee great. So I'm looking at you now thinking,
it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, why do I like you so much as a human being? I thought, he's gentle. You're gentle. Now, did you always have that gentleness?
Actually, I was really tall, and I'm not really big. But
were you picked on?
I played football, in grade school, and I was known as a pugnacious football player.
What does that mean?
Well, in other words, I was I was a tough football player. Like, I would be very happy to not only tackle you, but to hurt you in the process.
You were compensating for your feelings of less than.
Well,
because you were small, you're diminutive in size.
I was relatively small, but you know, when you're younger, it's kind of like I was a late bloomer, so I was small, but I wasn't necessarily a lot smaller than the other people. But I'm just telling you, the answer to your question is I was not always as gentle as I am. And I grew up in a family of six children. And when you're in a family of six, you tend to have to fight for
your
position.
Where were you in that lineup?
I was number five of six.
So you generally have to what?
You generally have to fight for your dessert. You have to fight for your ice cream.
Grab your mashed potatoes now because they're all going to be gone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, I grew up in a fairly wealthy family. And yet at the same time, there were limited portions that were passed out or there was limited candy or whatever. And so, you know, I learned early on how to fight for my portion.
Yeah.
And so I think that part of me, which of course is in some respects, it's a part of all human nature, but I can't say that I was always gentle. And there still remains in me a human part of me, which is not necessarily as gentle. So I'm grateful that you say I'm gentle.
Oh, yeah. And there have been times in my life where I have been in prayer and literally people have said, you know, they're close to me going, have you been praying? And it just oozes out of me, this gentleness.
Yeah.
As of late, I haven't had a lot of that at this time in my life, but I would like that those visitations again because I'm a better man when I'm closer to the Lord.
Well, the Lord is giving you visitations all the time, Rhett.
No, but I mean this, like the feeling of that peace and that, you know, like, and you just surrender. Well, I interviewed Billy Graham, and if I'm boasting, I am boasting of the Lord because I told the Lord at my radio show, I said, if you don't give me Billy Graham, then I'm not going to believe you've been in my career. And yet he gave me this career, so I won't go into that lesson. And so when I met Dr. Graham, he was the most gentlest, loving man I've interviewed. Mm-hmm. There was no agenda. You know, our grandbaby, you have grandbabies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the baby looks at you, and all of a sudden, they squint their eyes. They're smiling at you. They don't want anything from you. They're not trying to manipulate you. It's God's love coming right through them, unadulterated.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and this is the season of peace. The Lord wants to bring us peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And, of course, this is part of the theme in Luke chapter 2, peace on earth, goodwill towards men and women. So, the Lord Jesus came to bring us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The Shalom Shalom of God.
Shalom Shalom. Is that how it's written in the original Hebrew?
I think there was an expression, Shalom Shalom. And I think the Jewish people would basically say this to each other, Shalom Shalom. And that was, in essence, you know, a blessing upon your brother, your sister, that you would experience the peace that passes all understanding.
You know, there are people out there that have never heard about Jesus. I know it's incredulous. Come on. But remember, nobody told me till I was 29. I didn't know what Easter was. No one ever told me. And when I was younger, I would, you know, go to a perfunctory mass with my grandmother, who was Catholic, maybe five, six times my whole life. But, you know, he did what they do, you know, and ding-a-ring-a-ling-ding. And, you know, and I didn't know what to do. So no one ever took me aside. And that's why I thought that the first couple of segments we did for this broadcast, for this week the other day, it was coming out in such a great way that was understandable, I think. I wish I had heard our broadcast when I was younger. I had no idea of the intricacies involved and the love involved. Have you ever heard, by the way, can you imagine what it's like? Here the shepherds are, right? And they said a heavenly host. Weren't they singing and praising God or something there?
Yeah.
Singing? I forget what it is.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, when I was watching you just now when we were doing our interview, I was thinking, wow, you know, I've had some miraculous encounters, but I've yet to hear heavenly song.
Yeah. It says in verse 8 of Luke 2, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And then
fear means respect, right? Fears of spirit. Okay.
Well, in fairness, I mean, if you're out in the middle of a dark night
up in the sky,
and all of a sudden the night sky lights up in a way that you
hey,
and
yo,
I,
Jacob, I'm out of here.
You've never seen before.
Yeah.
And you see angels, and the hosts are not necessarily angelic figures like with the wings and halos and everything else, but the hosts of heaven can be creatures of all different kinds.
We have no idea.
So we don't know exactly what they saw, heavenly creatures. And oftentimes the hosts of heaven are also associated with angelic armies. And there's another twist to the story that basically you have heaven coming down to earth, you know, piercing the veil and coming into a dark earth. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in great darkness, on them, the light has dawned. And so there's this idea where the light and the glory, where the glory is this holy light of heaven, comes and breaks in to the darkness of earth. You get a sense that the earth has been just cloaked in sin and darkness. And Jesus comes in and pierces the veil and comes to earth. And it's, and of course, many of us who are praying the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so one of the critical themes of the Christmas story is how heaven comes down to earth, and the light and the glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes and the Lord makes himself known. The light of the world comes into the darkness of our world. And his light, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome it. Let me just say this. There are people right now listening to this, and they are facing incredible darkness in their lives. And I don't know exactly what it is. You know, I don't know if it's a financial darkness. I don't know if their families are in shambles. They look forward normally to this time of the year thinking, oh, this is such a beautiful family time. And yet they look at their families and their families are falling apart. They're people who are in the throes of addiction of one kind or another.
Every family's got problems, and they all want to hide it, pretending that everything's okay, mask it on the outside and cover it up, and don't tell the neighbors what's really going on here.
And there's a lot of darkness there. And
I was just in a parking lot today, and the man to my right, around lunchtime, and he got in, and he was taking these little bottles of alcohol.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
We come to you tonight, Lord, and we proclaim and we shout it unto you. Now, Lord, we come and we sing and we dance. We clap and we cry out, and we'll kneel tonight and we'll bow. We praise and we worship. One.